as you cross the empty grave. Life eternal, you have won the day. Shout it out, Jesus is alive. He's alive. Joy and perfect peace. Earthly pain finally will cease. Celebrate, Jesus is alive. Oh,
all over this place. He's a great God. He's a mighty God. He is here to meet you right where you are at. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a champion, that you bring victory to us this morning in Jesus' name. And we will shout it out from the mountain tops that our God is good. He has overcome. Let all the earth, every tribe and tongue, he will sing it out. He has overcome. Come on, sing it out. We will shout it out from the mountain tops that our God is good. He has overcome. Let all the earth, every tribe and tongue, we will sing it out. He has overcome. Our champion, you fight for us. Yes, he does. You made a way where there was none. Our champion, you're strong in us. The debt we owe, you paid it.
Yeah. Praise the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. He is stronger. You and I came into this world with a sin problem. But because of the strength of my Lord, sin is broken in the name of Jesus. That means that you don't have to struggle with the same problems the generations behind you struggled with. Sin is broken in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You may be seated this morning. We're so thankful that you chose to come out and worship with us at Charleston Church. If you are visiting this morning, if you just take a look in the seat back in front of you, there is a contact card. And we just want to get to know you. We want to be in touch with you. So if you would, just take that contact card out, fill the information out, and when we get ready to take up the offering, just put that in the offering buckets as they go by. Ushers, you can come down and get ready. Charleston Church, you let all of our visitors here today, in-house and watching online, let them know that we're thankful they're here and that they are welcomed here at Charleston Church. Just a couple of announcements this week. Starting tomorrow, Monday, January 7th, we are starting our corporate fast here at Charleston Church. Let me tell you, when you fast and you pray and you seek the Lord, great things are going to happen on your behalf. How many have a need this morning that you're seeking God for? Maybe something in 2019, this has to happen in my life. Let me tell you, when you join your faith with the rest of these church members, when you join your faith and you begin to fast and you pray, let me tell you, God will do it on your behalf. Amen? So starting on Monday, January 7th, we're going to go till Friday. I believe that's the 11th. Is that correct? It's going to end that day. There it is. There's the information. And so we're going to fast together. Also coming up January 19th, the band Unspoken is going to be here in concert at 6 p.m. You can find tickets online at lighthouseevents.com. And that's going to be a great time. If you like loud music, come on out. If you don't come, then complain. Just stay home. It's going to be a lot of fun. Let's thank the Lord this morning. God, we praise you and we thank you for all that you've done. Lord, we thank you for your provision. I pray right now, God, that you bless this offering. Bless each one who gives. We know that you're the God of more than enough. You're not the God of just scraping by. You're the God of more than enough. We thank you, God. I ask you, Lord, that increase in Jesus' name upon this house, upon every life that's in here this morning. Increase, God, in their finances, in their faith, in their joy, in their peace. God, bless this offering this morning. We give you all the honor and all the praise in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen this morning. Amen. Hallelujah.
By all
and every tear, and wipe away no more pain or suffering. Oh, praise Him for that mercy tree.
I've made choices. I've lost out. I wish 1,000 times I could go back and try again.
It's hard not to imagine what might have been.
If I had just stopped to think.
If I had just done as I was told.
If I hadn't thought I knew it all.
Why didn't I just take a few deep breaths?
Took 1 second to listen.
Maybe my life would be better.
Maybe there wouldn't be such a high price to pay.
Things would be different now.
I wouldn't have so many regrets.
But is everything lost?
Can I just get a do-over?
Is there a way back to new beginnings?
Because regret can mean a new beginning.
When it's given to the one who produces a repentance.
A repentance that delivers me from my grief.
The one who takes my mistakes.
And somehow redeems me through them.
Who tells me? I'm not the sum total of all my regrets.
He tells me not to look back.
Because there's nothing there to see.
I am not my mistakes.
He is faithful and just to forgive me.
I just have to ask Him.
And then I can look straight forward.
Forget what is behind me.
And strain towards what is ahead.
And walk away with all regrets erased by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Every day I'm given a clean slate.
A clean slate?
I get a clean slate.
That's good. Would you stand together with me this morning? I would ask at the beginning of this year, a couple things. We've got some things we want to do right here, so I need you to just work with me a little bit. These folks are going to give out these books, so you can't leave and say they never gave me anything. We're giving you stuff right from the beginning of the year. We're just starting to give stuff away. So everybody take a book. Supplies are limited. And I guess it's if you sit in the front of the balcony or the front of the church, you get the best chance. How many are committed? I know that everybody's got a lot of different things they want out of a new year, but how many of you would agree being more like Christ is the greatest aspiration that we could have for the brand new year? Amen. A brand new year. And you have a brand new start. And this is a serious, if we don't do this as a church, we're not doing what God put us together for, and that's to grow in Christ. And so we want you to take it seriously, and I want to take it seriously, and I want to invest in it. And I need you to hear this. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk, get the vision, write it down, and make it plain. It is a whole lot better and a whole lot more effective to write down what you want God to do for you in 2019 than to just try to remember it. Write it down. Write down where you want to be healed. Write down who you want to see get saved. Write down what kind of revival you think that we need. Write it down. Write down every area, and then you bring that before God on a daily basis. Starting tomorrow, as Anthony said, we start our January fast. We do 3 fasts in the year because I need to fast more than the beginning of the year. There's a lot of year after January. So we fast in June for the summer. We fast in September for the fall. But I would ask you to join us every day this week, starting Monday at 12:15 on Facebook Live. Have that book in hand and start writing down the things that God speaks to you during the fast, during those devotions. It'll be myself and others that will be joining in on this. But I make this commitment to you. This church in 2019 will be more prayerful than it has ever been in its history, I believe. I'm just going to tell you that one more time. This church, if I said everybody's going to have a Cadillac, you all would shout. Unless you don't like Cadillacs. If I said everybody gets a four-wheeler, now I remember where I'm at. Everybody gets a four-wheeler. But the key to your joy, the key to your peace, the key to your victory, to the key to your household salvation is found, first of all, in a place of prayer. Amen. Place of prayer. It's a joy to get there. All joys are found at the place of prayer. And so join us on that. Tonight, you need to be here tonight. If you don't ever come on Sunday nights, the weather's good. This is your chance to come back on Sunday night. I'm going to really hone in on fasting and prayer and the privileges. And this one word is something you're going to hear me preach over and over again this year. Different. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're different. Now, that wasn't nice. That wasn't nice. But this is a word that God put in my spirit last year, and several things have gone to confirm it. And I'm going to declare it to you today, in 2019, we're going to be more different than we've ever been before. We're going to have different joy, different faith. We're going to be different people. Come on, we're going to be a different church than we've ever seen before. All the chaos and pain that's going on today, we need something to change. I believe it starts in us, starts in the house of God, all right? All right, open your Bibles while you're standing to the book of Luke. The book of Luke. My wife is not here today. She's preaching in Sullivan at Charleston Church down east. And we have a pastor for Charleston Church down east. Sometime the beginning of this year, as soon as possible, Sterling and Tanya Lawrence are going to become the pastors of Charleston Church down east. So we thank God for them. Let's give God thanks that He's provided there. Just like a typical preacher, I ask you to open your Bible and clap at the same time. It's not nice. I'll do better. But we're excited about what God's doing down there. We're excited about what God's doing here. I'm excited about what God's going to do in your house. Praise God. Luke chapter 8. Are you there yet? I got to make sure I wrote everything down. Yeah, Paul and Heather are up in Canada celebrating his dad's 70th birthday. So that's where they're... Not Paul's, his dad's 70th. The ministry will age you, but not that fast. Luke chapter 8. I hope to see you tonight. I love you. Would you turn to your neighbor and just tell him, first serious, just tell him, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Okay, that's enough. You guys are like really happy today. I like it. I walked in, I thought the place was packed. It was so loud in here. It's awesome. I'll say this to you. I'm just kind of overwhelmed. I'm overflowing right now, so you're just going to have to give me a minute. We're going to do church better than we've ever done it before. This Sunday will become the best day of the week for everybody. And we got plans. I'm not just saying that because I'm hoping or wishing. Everything I'm telling you, I've got plans for. And I'm excited about it. Luke 8:4. One day Jesus told a story in the form of a parable to a large crowd that had gathered from many towns to hear him. A farmer went out to plant his seed. As he scattered it across the field, some seed fell on a footpath where it was stepped on. The birds ate it. Other seed fell among rocks. It began to grow, but plant soon wilted and died for the lack of moisture. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up with it and choked out the tender plants. Still other seed fell on the fertile soil. This seed grew and produced a crop that was 100 times as much as had been planted. When he had said this, he called out, "Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand." If you're here today, you need this message. Look at that, what he said. When God finds a place to work, he says your life will change 100%. Another scripture says some 30, some 60, some 100. Your joy level, your victory level is up to you. But I would say today, I'm not going to settle for anything less than 100% of what God has for us. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll minister to every one of us today. We've got time for you to minister to us. Let this be the start of a new direction in our lives. In Jesus' name, everyone said amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. I appreciate that so much. What a story. What a story. Let me just break it down and be real. I want to be so biblical on this. Here's the story. A farmer finds land that he wants to get a harvest from. The farmer wants people to be fed. If you think about it, relatively just a handful of people in our world supplies food to everybody. And this man wants to take on a massive task of being a part of that feeding. And he finds a piece of land that apparently was not terribly fruitful historically. I don't know, I'm assuming that the farmer may have just saw the land on a Facebook page that said land for sale, and he bought it sight unseen, or visit, no visit. And he goes out and he takes the seed that's valuable, it's precious, it means something, he paid for it. And he begins to throw the seed all over the land that he intends for all of it to be productive. The problem is, he bought it because he saw what could happen, but he didn't study the history of the land. When God had made the land, it was fruitful. But since the fall of man, God said, you will have to toil by the sweat of your brow, the ground will work against you when it comes to harvest. So, not knowing the history of the land he bought it and started sowing on it without consulting it. Without doing a soil test, he just started casting seed all over it, assuming that it would produce. And he found out that three different types of areas of this plot that he bought didn't produce anything, but one area did. And so it is the farmer's job to diagnose it and say, hey, look, guys, if we can fix this part of the land, though we got 20% harvest, we could get 40% harvest, 60% harvest, 100% harvest. Up around where I live in Corinth, Tutty Strout has been clearing out some land on some of his fields, and he wants to get more production out of his land. In the Bible story, we can now place the characters for who the story is told. God is the farmer. You and I are the land. The seed is God's word, God's ministry, God's activity. And so when God finds us, he does not consult everything about us. He loves us in spite of our past. If you're here today and you have a past and you're not serving God and you're troubled by it, you say, I can't have a relationship God with because of my past. God loves you in spite of your past. His love for you is always greater than his information about you. I think somebody ought to say thank you. And so God is the farmer, you're the land, his word, the ministry, the work that he does is the seed. And I need everybody to know this. He didn't call you, save you, to forgive you so that you can just be land. He wants you to be productive. He's saying there's nothing wrong with his plan. There's nothing wrong with his ministry. So if there's no production, it's got to be you. You see, I slid right in there. Whoa. Whoa. Didn't see it coming. So we have to get to the point where we stop thinking that God is a respecter of persons. He's not. He's a respecter of ground. And if he can do it in anybody, he could do it in everybody. Why not me? Why not you? Why not Maine? Why not Charleston? Why not Atkinson? Why not Garland? Why not Township, whatever? I believe, I'm so strong, I believe God could even move in Augusta. He needs to. He needs to. He needs to. And so this is a tremendous story because the farmer is not selling the land. If I was the farmer, I'd say, I'm going to trade this back in for a different model. If I was but the farmer is committed and tells his workers, if that one area can produce, all we've got to do is find out what's wrong with the other areas so they can produce. I'm here to tell you something today. That even if you've not been productive in every area of your life, God notices the area that you are. Maybe you haven't scored an A on every test. Maybe you've not finished first in every race. But at least you kept serving God in 2018. God says, good job. At least you made God the priority the first Sunday of the year. Good job. At least you're bringing your kids to church. Good job. Oh, you don't take compliments well. Until right now, you better sharpen up. I said, thank God. You may not be winning in every area, but how many say, thank God, at least I'm winning in one area? And because you've got one area that you've got that you've kept for him, God's saying, look, if I could do it there, why can't I help your marriage? Why are you keeping him out of your marriage? Why are you keeping him out of your parenting? Why are you keeping him out of your thought life? No, don't shut the door. Make him Lord of all or not Lord at all. And so he tells us that there are three kinds of hearts that need a clean slate. The first heart is a hard heart. He says he threw some seed on the ground that was packed down. Just give me time to give you a heart check today. A hard heart. I don't care how good you sing. I don't care how high you raise your hands. I don't care how often you shout. I don't care how often you're under the altar. If your heart is hard, that's an area that God says, I can't produce anything. A hard heart. And I don't want to preach and be condescending. I think so many preachers are so condescending. I don't want to be condescending. I want to tell you something. If you've suffered with a heart, everybody's had to deal with a hard heart. Hard ground is areas that people have walked on. We have, if you would just give me a moment, we have an increasingly dishonorable society. If you have watched politics this week alone, have you seen how incredibly dishonorable people are to each other? And in prayer, the Holy Spirit said to me, dishonor is the doorway for the demonic. And there are people here today, you've been dishonored, you've been mistreated, you've been harmed, you've been attacked, you've been backstabbed, you've been lied to. Somebody has deceived you. And I'm telling you, if you're not careful, you can have been walked on so often and dishonored so long that you don't live an unholy life, but you live an unproductive life because your heart has become hardened. A hard heart is the gateway to leads into sin, however. The book of Ephesians tells us that. You can get a hard heart because of what people, how people have treated you. You get a hard heart for how your children have treated you, how your parents have treated you, how siblings have treated you. Families, all they need is one dishonorable person in it. And the devil says, that's my doorway to destroy the whole unit. I've committed my life to God in this way. I want to be more honoring in God's house, in my house, and in this town than I've ever been before. Everybody deserves honor. Not everybody deserves the same level, but everybody should get honored when they come to the house of God. Come on, somebody. That's why we need parking lot attendants. That's why we need hospitality. That's why we're going to have different hosts in this building. Because every person is made in the image of God, and they deserve to be treated fairly, whether they're a Republican or Democrat. Oh, shout now. No. I'm just saying, the church has got to be different than the world. The world hollers at each other and says, you don't agree with... No, that person is made in the image of God. They may be a broken person, but they're still in the image of God, and they're redeemable property. And we ought to start honoring each other as we are. We ought to honor everywhere that gives you life. A hard heart can come from that. A hard heart can come from familiarity. Worship today was so good. Paul and Heather who? I'm just teasing. That wasn't very honoring. Worship was so good today. But you know, you can be in a worship service like that with your arms crossed, looking around, seeing what people are wearing, checking your phone, thinking about other things. I want to be a source of a reality check. Okay. I don't know what you're doing. I was worshiping. I sit on the front row. I don't know how you folks sit anywhere beyond the second row, because I would be so distracted by people. I sit right on the front. I like that. And I'm not saying you can't sit in the back. I just assume you don't want to be near me. So that was pretty honoring. If you ever watch videos of Christians in countries, underground video, where the people are gathering for worship, and know that if they're found by the government or other religious groups, that they could be beaten. We're so far removed from those realities, but it happens right now. More people are being slaughtered for Christ than ever before. Your house could be burned down. The building you meet in could be destroyed. Please let Holy Spirit make it real to us, even though we've never been there. They could imprison you, kill you, attack your family for worship. And if you ever see video, let this convict you. If you ever see video of those precious believers in far less luxurious atmospheres and buildings like this, you don't find one uninvolved. You find every single one of them. They're not entertaining. They're not doing entertainment. You know, much of worship in modern America is just entertainment on a stage. This was not entertainment today. This was pure-hearted worship of the living God. And you watch the precious people in China and Pakistan and different persecuted countries where they know that if they're found, they'll be killed. I'm going to tell you, they don't just praise because it's cool. They don't praise because they're comfortable. They praise God because they absolutely love Him more than life itself. And they're not entertaining, but they're not sitting around looking. I'm just telling you, if we're not careful, we can become so familiar with what's going on here that it's all good and we like it, but we're uninvolved. That, my friend, liberty could leave in a year. I'm just telling you, in America, the liberty to worship could be taken from us. I'm going to use my liberty as much as I can. I'm going to praise Him in the morning. I'm going to praise Him in the evening. I'll praise Him when it's good. I'll praise Him when it's bad. I'll praise Him when it's my song. I'll praise Him when it's not. But from the rising of the sun to the setting of the same, His name will be praised out of our lips. You have a liberty that people are giving their lives for. Don't waste it. Rise up and say, I'll praise God. He died for me. I will live and praise Him. It's a hard heart. Some of you battled your greatest battle last year. And the harvest that you have this year is totally tied to your ability to allow God to soften your heart. And I wouldn't preach this way if I didn't have a solution. The first is a hard heart. The second is a shallow heart. It's a ground that was good soil on the top, but just beneath it was a lot of rocks. It was good for a minute, but it couldn't sustain it. It's shallow. Well, I tell you, nothing will discourage you like having victory on one day, and then 3 days later, you're just like, you get so frustrated with yourself. And sometimes shallowness leads you back to shallow people. I heard of this young girl who had a new boyfriend, so she wanted to introduce him to her parents. And he come in, he had old dirty boots on, greasy hair, tattoos from his eyebrows to his collarbone, and looked like he fell face first into a tackle box. And they're looking at him, they're shocked. They said, "Honey, can we speak to you in the kitchen?" And they bring her into the kitchen, and they said, "Honey, he is not a good boy." "What are you talking about? He's a good boy. Why else would he be doing 5 hours of public service?" Some of you are laughing because you were there. Or at least you didn't get caught. I'm just telling you today, God wants to give you something. I know that's hard. It's shallow. I don't want to be shallow. I want to have something real. And the last, a hard heart, a shallow heart, and a preoccupied heart. A preoccupied heart. He said, there's some ground he planted. He didn't realize, but there were thorns in that ground, and those roots began to choke the water away from what was sown. Preoccupied, got distracted, got involved with other things, too consumed in the wrong things. LinkedIn reports that every time you look at your phone, it takes 23 minutes to get your focus back. So when I'm preaching, I see you pick up your phone, I go, another 23 minutes, then I'll start. That's why I only preach 23 minutes. Twice that. I think that we need to be awfully careful that we're not getting preoccupied. Here's one, your phone. Here's one, social media. Come on. How many know Facebook and Instasham will destroy you? Will destroy you. It will people's lives are being defined by likes and hearts and smiley faces and blocks. We get preoccupied with these things, and I just think we ought to be awful careful that we don't get distracted. So, and then there's the fourth soil, it's the good soil. I'm going to bring this around, but I don't know if you know it yet, but I'm going to preach on repentance. And it may not be what you think it is. Because the farmer, God himself, says that your life is not too hard. Your life is not too shallow. Would you please hear as if God was speaking to you? And I'm not God, but I pray that I can at least say what he's saying to you today. That you're not too hard. That you're not too shallow. And you're not too preoccupied. God's plan when he bought you is the same today as when he purchased you. Come on, give me a Presbyterian shout by shaking your head like this. I said, you may not have won in every area last year, but God has not changed his mind on what he wants to do in that area this year. And the areas that you used to be hard could very well become the most productive areas of your life. The area that you had become shallow could actually be your greatest strength. Your private life could become your greatest strength. And your preoccupied heart, where we're so easily focused on the wrong things, could actually turn and you could say, I focused my eyes on Jesus Christ. And the moment that happens, I'm telling you, when God begins to put his word into your heart, it will produce a 100% turnaround in your life. But the key is a word that you don't hear preached in America enough. And it's good old-fashioned repentance. I know. In prayer, I asked Lord, God, when I preach this, help me to know what the people are thinking. And I believe he shared with me what you may have already been thinking is this. I've tried, and I can't seem to do it. So let's just be honest about it so that your neighbor doesn't think you're as perfect as you, your Facebook page says you are. How many of you have tried and you can't do it on your own? Oh, you're a mess. This place is a whole lot worse off, Lord, than you told me. I'm just kidding. I love your honesty. I think that's one of the greatest aspects of us, because it is honesty that brings the victory. I got a scripture for you, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. I'm going to preach repentance to you, but it's not going to make you weak. It's going to make you recover. Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge each of you. That's encouraging. But you've got to know the heart of God in this. O people of Israel, according to your actions, says the Lord, repent. Turn from your sins and don't let them destroy you. What? Your sins. Your heart. Your mentality. If you don't turn from it, it will turn on you. But look what he says in verse 31. This just begins to really... Your rebellion... Put all your rebellion behind you. I know you all look perfect, but even those of you that do look perfect, we'll have to admit sometimes pride will get in your heart by what people have done. Pride will get in your heart by what people have said. Pride will get in your heart by what you've done. Look what he says. Put your rebellion behind you and find yourselves a new heart. Not a new hairdo. Not a new house. Not a new car, not a new toy, not a new job, not a new spouse. You know I was going there. I'm not saying, okay, that's all I'm going to say. And find yourselves a new heart. He's not telling you to change your heart. He's saying, let me give you a new heart. That's a good pulpit. He didn't say have a new, he didn't say change your heart. He's saying get a new heart. I'm going to preach it till you get it. And a new spirit. Why should you die? Why should your marriage die? Why should your relationships die? Why should your business die? Why should your ministry die? Why should your hopes die? Why should your dreams die, oh people? I don't want you to die. Sorry, I'm shouting. I don't want you to die. Turn back and live. What is repentance? Repentance is not making yourself I'm such a lousy person. Repentance gives you life. You've been looking for all these things to bring you joy. You've been looking for all these things to bring you recovery. You've been looking for all these things to be restoration. And God says, all you've got to do is repent. And the moment you repent, I'll put in you a good heart, a heart that will cooperate. And not only will you have a good heart, you will recover from everything that has been stolen from you. Nobody believes that. I'm going to preach it until you do. He has the ability. If you will repent, God said, your sins, your actions, your heart, we're going to bring a quick end to your life. But if you repent, God says, I'll give you a quick renewal, a brand new beginning. A life is coming into your house. Life is coming back into you. Repent. Wow, I'm going to stop here in a minute. When? When I'm done. I love you. I've been praying God do something for you today. I believe one service God can wipe away 52 weeks of problems and start you on a brand new journey. If you want it, you can have it. You've got permission. We have to redefine, we don't have to redefine. We need to find out what the Bible means by repentance. And so that word repent, the original writing of the Old Testament is Hebrew. And the Hebrew language is much more creative than the English language. The Hebrew language, every letter gives thought to a picture. So every letter in Hebrew has a picture connected to it. And there are three pictures that are found in the Hebrew language of what real repentance is. Because how many know, not everybody that's apologizing is repenting. You know, I'm sorry if I made you feel that way. That's not repentance. That's casting your anger on me. Here's repentance. Ready? Here's the word picture. Ready? The Hebrew word pictures. Number one, destroy the house. If you thought I shouted before, you better get your nervous self together. Destroy the house in repentance means to destroy the house. And this is how they get it from. When a kingdom would fight another one, they would go in, and when they conquered the other kingdom, watch this. When they conquered the kingdom, they would take the captives and they would make them face their old village. And they would go in and they would light everything in that village on fire until the whole village burned down. And then they would turn the captive and bring the captive to their new kingdom, so that this captive would no longer think about going back to the old kingdom and would completely cooperate with the new kingdom. Help me, preacher. Yeah. Ooh. If I had a robe, I'd preach like it's supposed to be preached. I'm telling you, I'm one robe away from having a revival. I promise you, I don't look good in a dress, but I'd do it if it would happen. Come on, I'm just telling you, no turning back, no turning. I'm just telling you, there's nothing in that old life that Matt Ward wants an ounce of. Well, I don't want any more pain. I don't want any more shame. I don't want any more problems. I don't want any more guilt. God, burn it to the ground until I can't go back anymore, so that I can enter a kingdom of love, joy, and peace, and righteousness. Some of you have left the old house of bitterness up. Burn her to the ground. You need a good old-fashioned bonfire. Light that bugger and let that burn, baby, burn. Ooh, let it burn, let it burn. Come on, let it burn, let it burn. Let the old things pass away. Behold, all things are now new. Stop going back. It's ashes. It's gone. Go forward. Go forward in Jesus' name. Did you get it? Because I'm going to say something wrong if I preach that again. You know what I'm going to say. You need to change the locks and throw away the key. You need to disconnect your account. You need to delete their phone numbers. Oh, we're getting... If I'm stepping on your toes, it's because you're too close to the enemy. I'm stomping the enemy. Get away from him, and this preaching won't hurt so much. I'm just teasing. I'm just telling you that until you hate the old life, you'll never experience the joy of the new life. But I've got nothing to go back to. I've got nothing to go back to. I'm like Peter. But Jesus said, do you want to go and go back? No. Peter says, there's nothing to go back to. We burned it all. It's gone. Let's go, Jesus. Let's see what you can do. Let's see what your marriage looks like in the power of Christ. Let's see what your relationship looks like with Jesus. Not only does repentance mean destroy the old house and get to be, but it says come back to where you belong. That's literally what it means in Hebrew. Like, I don't belong. There's part of Matt Ward that doesn't belong on this earth. There's part of Matt Ward, I don't fit in here. I don't know if you notice that. I'm not sure I fit in here right now. But I'm okay with that. Some of you, you don't feel at home anywhere. That's because God didn't build you to feel at home in this world. The only place I feel at home in is His mighty presence. Oh, I long for His mighty presence, because I can tell you, I've been to some places and they're wonderful, but there's no place of rest like being in the presence of the God that loves you and cares for you. I want to be in His presence. I want to be in His house. I want to be with His people. It's finally where you belong. That's why the hospitality team is so vital in this church, because people need to have a sense when they visit here. You've not only found a place that you're liked, but you found a place where down in your spirit you find that this is really where I belong. That's why the enemy will attack you in the house of God to get you out of where you belong. But here's the last one. I might even shout. on this one. Destroy the house. Burn it to the ground. Turn around and go where you belong. And the last one, the letter on this word Shavat is literally a cross. I'd preach better if you'd be better to preach to. I'm just telling you, no harm done, but I'm going to say that one more time. The first letter of that word Shavat, which is repent, is the symbol of a cross. There is no rest outside of the cross. But when you repent and turn your back on the thing that's been killing you and realize I've got life when I come back to God, watch what happens. He lets you enter the rest of a covenant. That's it. Now you're preaching to him. Now you're preacher worthy. Hallelujah. What happens? See, repentance, we think repentance is just groveling on the ground and I'm no good. No. Repentance is the way to get back up on your feet and find out what's a covenant. What's a covenant? A covenant is this. A covenant is an agreement that God makes with you and he consults nobody else about it. This is why I'm so far from you. That's why we had to have a bulletproof pulpit. I'm just telling you, I can't explain it, but I will not hide it anymore. I feel the power of God in what I'm preaching today. Watch this. A covenant is a commitment that God makes to you, and he doesn't ask your ex, he doesn't ask your kids, he doesn't ask your boss, he don't ask your pastor. He says, I'll do this for you, what nobody else will do. I'll forgive your sins, I'll heal your land, I'll put you back together, and I don't care what the enemy does. Nobody can stop what God says he'll make happen. Rest. Watch this, Hebrews chapter 10. Whew, I don't want that guy shouting at me. Go somewhere it's dead then. Hebrews 10:16. This is the new covenant I will make with my people on that day, says the Lord. I will put my law in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. And he says, I will never again remember their sins and lawless deeds. When you repent, God makes a covenant. See, there is so many times that I've preached and we've all done, be holy, live right. And people get frustrated, but they don't realize it's not in you to live right. It's not in you to live holy. You need the Holy Spirit to come in you to give you the desire to live right. And he gives you the desire to live holy. I heard about a man that was in prison, and somebody gave him a New Testament Bible, and when he got out, he thought it was a joke. So he made this decision that every day he would rip out a page of the New Testament, and he'd roll a joint, and he'd smoke it. And so Wayne is the only person who laughed out loud at that. So it wasn't Wayne that did this, by the way, if you thought he was feeling convicted, but I knew you'd like it. And he rolled, and every day he smoked one page of the Bible up in marijuana. Matthew 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28. 28 days of, 28 chapters. Mark 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. Luke 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. Okay, you didn't say any of those. So. John 1, 2. Smoked it. But this one day, he picked up his Bible, and he ripped, just before he ripped the page out, it said John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that any who should repent and believe in him, they shall have life. He put the marijuana down, he put the paper down, bent his knee and said, Jesus, please forgive me for being such a sinner. I'm telling you, there's a covenant that comes. I don't care how bad you've lived, I don't care how bad you've been hurt. If you'll humble your heart before God and understand this is a covenant, and he's not asking for your past permission, he's not asking for your neighbor's permission, he's already given you permission on the cross, and today you can be new. The Bible says in Acts chapter 3, repent. Now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. And then, somebody say then. The greatest year of your life is on the other side of your repentance. But look what happens when you repent. Nobody preaches this right. Well, I say that. That's not true. I lied. I'm sorry. I don't hear enough people preaching this right. It's pretty arrogant. Like I hear everybody preach. I just found myself caught up in something I hate what other preachers do. Just talking to myself. Now repent of your sins. I heard some idiots, speaking of preachers, who said, well, when you get saved, you don't need to repent. Read the Bible, you moron. Romans chapter 7 and 8
says that I've got two natures in me. And when my old nature takes cover, I need to repent.
So that my new nature can rise. That wasn't very honoring, but I meant it. Now repent. I prayed this morning. I began to read all the scriptures that the word repent is in. I didn't read all of them, but I started reading a lot of them. And I said, Lord, I only ask you for one thing today in that service. Give Charleston Church the greatest hunger to repent that we've ever had before. That's part of our fast this week. Fasting is denying your flesh and saying, I need to humble myself before God because there's some ways about me that need to change. I'm sorry, I'd love to get you all jacked up and wild and happy, but I want God to do something so real in your home. I want to see God save your whole family. And he will, but it's on the other side of repentance. Ready? Now repent of your sins and turn to God. That's a beautiful picture again. Repent of your sins and turn away from the, burn the old house so that your sins may be wiped away. God doesn't just cover your sins. He annihilates them. They don't exist anymore. A smart aleck went to this revival where this preacher was calling people out, telling them everything they did. And the smart aleck happened to be a preacher. And the preacher went in and he said, well, why don't you tell me what sins I committed last week? And the evangelist said, God says he doesn't remember them. Now repent of your sins and turn to God that your sins may be wiped away. Then, times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord. And he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. The Amplified Bible says this, repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, and return to God, seek his purpose for your life, so that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. The moment that I turn to him, guess what he says? Times of refreshing are coming. Help me, Jesus. Somebody say times.
Times.
Times. You know what that means? More than once. Doesn't mean you're just going to have a first good Sunday of the year. You're going to have every good Sunday of the year. Because on the other side of repentance is refreshing. He'll give you joy right when you need it. He'll give you peace right when... Come on. He'll give you peace right when you need it. He'll give you healing right when you need it. If you will repent today, you have set your life on a course of a revival that will last the rest of your living life. It makes me want to repent. It makes me want to say, Lord, I'm sorry for those attitudes. It makes me want to say, Lord, I've not completely burned it all to the ground. I've not completely made a clean cut of it all. But if you'll just help me and show me what needs to be done, I'll cut off and I will come after you like I have never come after you before. Some of you are not going after God because you're still leaving some options to go back open. I say to you, get yourself in God's house. Starting this Sunday, today, Andy Dry is preaching on the commands of Christ throughout the rest of the time until Malcolm comes back. But get into Sunday school. Get the last Sunday of this month, Greg and Denise will start a Focus on Finances class. Get into Sunday school there. Get into church Sunday morning. If you can't get here Sunday morning, get here Sunday night. I'm just telling you, if you will just repent and say, I'm going after God, you will have no more sleepless nights. In the name of Jesus Christ, you will have no more fights and contentions in your marriage. In the name of Jesus Christ, you'll have no more lack, no more disappointment. Because where God finds a good heart, there's always an encouragement. Let's bow our heads. Hallelujah. Jesus, we're going to start this year right. We take a moment this morning, Lord. Evaluate our hearts. Lord, we still believe that sin will destroy a person, a family, an area, but we also believe that your forgiveness and righteousness will restore a person, a family, an area. God, please hear our prayer today that we want to repent. Help us to be humble today. Let there be a humility in us that is contagious. That we just stop playing games with sin. Stop playing games with religion. Stop playing games. What people think of us, we don't want to be shallow. God, I want you to lower the plow today. I don't want you to lift it. God, for a minute this morning, we are reminded, 2 Chronicles 7, you said, if my people, will humble themselves and pray, I will forgive their sins, you said. You said you would heal our land. God, we cannot do it ourselves. God, we cannot heal the land. God, we cannot heal these families. God, we cannot heal the dysfunction and the brokenness of our godless culture. But God, you can. And you said if you'd find people that would be humble, not talented. You didn't say if you could find people that were just smooth. You didn't say you could find people that are perfect. You didn't say if you could find people that were young or old. You didn't say if you could find people that had great education or no education, rich or poor. You said if your people would simply humble themselves, that God, you would do something greater than the people. You'd do something in the region and in the land. God, I pray that you'll do something in response to our repentance today. That the state of Maine gets a heavenly outpouring of the Holy Ghost until everybody hears the gospel. Until the state of Maine becomes not the least Christian state, but the most Christian state in the United States. To be an example to what you can do in the rest of this country. Jesus, you're coming soon. God, we do not want to be arrogant. We don't want to be hard-hearted. We don't want to be callous. We don't want to be shallow. We don't want to be distracted or preoccupied. But God, we want to know the joy of your Spirit. We want to have times of unending refreshing until the burden is lifted off the people. And the joy of the Lord is becoming our strength once again. I'm going to ask you to just, right where you are, just begin to say, Lord, check my heart. This is an old-fashioned part of worship that needs to be restored. Lord, check my heart. I believe probably as I've preached, you've already been there. You're sensitive people. I get that. Now, just begin to say to the Lord, Lord, just wash it away. Take it away. I don't want it anymore. I want a clean heart. I want a new heart. I want a clean slate. God's not asking you to carry the shame anymore. He's washed away the shame. He removes the guilt. He removes the regret. And he begins to say what was going to end all these things prematurely is going to end. And God says, if you repent, repent and live. Bring life into a marriage. Bring life into relationships. Bring life into homes. Bring life into ministries. Bring life into our own minds. Bring life so that there's no more dysfunction, but there's peace and healing. In the name of Jesus, somebody say amen. If you're thankful for the all-forgiving, unlimited power of God to give you a brand new start, and you want to start this year by thanking Him, I dare you to get up on your feet and to lift up your voice, if you want, your hands, and begin to say, I thank you, Lord. I got a brand new start on January, first Sunday of January, 2019. Come on, begin to thank Him right out loud. Right out loud. I thank you, Lord, for a brand new start. I got a clean slate. I got a brand new beginning. Come on, all over this place. You don't have to repeat the pain of the past. You can walk into a new joy, a new life, a new hope, a new help today. Come on, refreshing is right in front of you. Refreshing is right before you. It's as near as your voice will just speak out and say, Lord, I receive a brand new start in the name of Jesus. Let's begin to praise Him for a while. We'll sing in a minute, but begin to praise Him all across this platform, all across this floor, balcony, online. Come on, thank God. Come on, begin to thank God. I have a brand new start. I have a brand new beginning. He's no respecter of persons, but He is a respecter of repentance. Humble your heart and say, Lord, every area of my life that needs to be revived, I give it to you. And I get to begin again. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, begin to thank Him. It's not done yet. Begin to thank Him right now. Hallelujah. You don't need a preacher's permission to be free. You don't need anybody's permission to be free. You don't need anybody's permission to have joy. You've got a covenant-keeping God, and He made a covenant with you on the cross. Now, enjoy your liberty. Now, enjoy your freedom in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Chains are being broken now in the name of Jesus. Lord, bring healing to everybody's body in this building now in the name of Jesus. Heal divisions in homes now in the name of Jesus. This is a year of refreshing. Hallelujah. If you believe it, begin to really thank God that He's planned your refreshing. There's power in praise. Begin to praise Him. Begin to magnify Him. God's not done here.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord.
There is power.
Yes, Lord.
In the name.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Wash it away.
To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power. Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus.
Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain.
on me.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Come on, sing it. I hear the chains falling.
I hear those chains falling.
Maro Shora, do it, Lord, right now. Do it, Lord, right
I
now.
I hear those chains falling.
Breaks every chain, breaks every chain. Hallelujah. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that I once was lost, but now. Come on, somebody. You ought to thank God for that.
Was blind, but now
sin was going to totally destroy your life, but today, refreshing's coming. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear. Grace, my fears release. How precious did that grace appear? The hour of first. If you believe He can do a miracle for anybody, come on, sing it. It's amazing. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but I found, was blind, but now I see. Praise God, praise God. Praise God. Come on, let there be enough humility that you praise Him. Praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Praise God,
praise God.
So you need to give me a minute, because there are people here, their hearts are changing while we're in the presence of God. Some, there are people here, their hard heart, it just needs a little time in His presence. Some people, the shallow heart, just needs God. Somebody's you just need a little time in His presence. You just got to begin to praise Him. Come on. Some of you just still, you're just too familiar with Him. I'm telling you, God is in this room today. In a powerful, does anybody agree with that? God is in this meeting today. I feel His presence like I haven't felt for a long time. And some of you just still, you're just saying, I'm not worthy. You don't know where I've come from. No, you don't get it. It's amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost,
but now I'm found. Was blind, but now
I haven't forgotten where He found me. Sing it again. It's amazing grace. How sweet
the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My chains are gone. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy reigns on
everyone. Oh, hallelujah! Come on, somebody! Come on, somebody! One more day, today.
My chains are off. I've been set.
Now begin to thank God, would you please? Feels good, don't it? Feels good to feel something again, don't it? Come on. Feels good to know His presence again. There's nothing like having the restoration. To feel your heartbeat again. To sense the presence of God. Get ready for God to do some things to make other people's heads spin when they see you. And they're going to say, how did that happen to you? You're going to say, amazing grace. You don't believe it? I'm going to try it one more time. How many of you are ready for God to make you a blessing that is so big it'll make everybody say, I don't know how that happened? You're going to say, I know how it happened. It was amazing grace. Hallelujah. I'm living in refreshing times. I'm not bent on judgment. I'm bent on blessing. Ow! Hallelujah! You just feel like you were born under a bad sign. No, maybe you were, but I've been born again under a cross sign that says that God will work for you and not against you. With every head bowed and every eye closed, you're here today and you don't have this walk with God. And the excuse, the reason I should say, I don't mean it wrong, but the reason you've not decided to serve Him is you said, I'm just not good enough. Man, honestly, it's the best job Matt Ward can do to explain to you. It's never about you being good enough. It's about the goodness of God. And when God gets in your life, He gives you a heart to want to do the right thing, to do amazing things. If that's you today, you've never asked Christ to come into your heart, you need to repent. I promise you, ma'am or sir, without repentance, you're headed to hell. But with repentance, you're headed to heaven. God's given you I love that song Julie sang. It's a mercy tree. There's an old song we used to sing. It's mercy time. The Bible says that God will not always strive after man. I think sometimes I give so many altar calls, people say, well, He'll do it again. But the Bible does not say you'll always be sensitive to His call. Don't let this year go by. Make a decision today. If that's you, you say, I need to give my life to Christ. I'm not living for Him. I need to give my life to Him. Raise your hand up nice and high. Say, that's me. When you pray, I want you to pray for me. Raise your hand up nice and high. Raise your hand up nice and high. God bless you, folks. God bless you. I'm going to pray with you in a moment. There's a hand over here. God bless you. I see your hand over here. This, yes, God bless you. I see your hand over there. This is the best way you could ever start a brand new year. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All right, you can look this way. I want to show you something that the Bible says is powerful. The Bible says that Jesus died for you publicly. That's why he calls you to serve him publicly. And I would love the privilege to pray with you today, the first Sunday of the year. This is a holy place. We don't do everything here. It's sacred. People get married here. We dedicate babies here. This is a place that we love to say. That's where you started your journey with Christ. Every person, quickly move out into the next interstile and walk down the aisle and let me pray with you right here at this altar. And we're going to rejoice with you, for a brand new beginning starts today. Come on. Come on. Quick. Don't delay. Let me pray with you if you would. Come on. They're coming. They're coming. Let's begin to praise the Lord. Come on, don't miss your moment. Don't miss your moment. I'm so glad you're here today. I know this is not comfortable for you. This is the best thing that could ever happen to you, though. What's your name? Keith? I know a guy named Keith. What's your name? Hi, Stacy. Do you live around here? Yes, wonderful. I'm glad you're here today. I kind of get excited up there. I'm not going to shout at you right here, okay? I promise, okay? I just get excited, but I thank God for what God is about to do. You didn't plan this, but God planned it. And I think as you serve him, you'll realize that he was working in your life a lot, and you didn't even know it. And this is a great new beginning for you. I'm going to pray with you, okay? It's not my words, but it's from your heart. We're going to do this as a family. And when we're done praying, guess what's going to happen? God's going to give you a brand new spiritual beginning. He did it. I didn't. I got nothing to do with this. I want you to know that. It's totally what Jesus does, okay? Let's pray this way together. Let's pray it together, church. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For bringing me here today.
For bringing me here today.
I need you in my life.
I need you in my life.
I don't want to live another day.
I don't want to live another day.
The way I've been living.
The way I've been
living. I want a new life.
I want a new life.
I want a righteous life.
I want a righteous life.
I want a holy life.
I want a holy life.
Please forgive me.
Please forgive me.
From the old life.
From the old life.
Sins.
Sins.
And pain.
Pain.
I'm turning my back on it.
I
don't want anything to do with it.
I don't want anything.
Anymore.
I know why. Because you have so much more for me.
So it's not hard to walk away from the old. When I know I got so much new to walk to.
I
invite you into my heart.
Be the Lord over my life.
I have a new beginning.
Times of refreshing
are coming to my house.
In the name of Jesus,
instead of sorrow,
I have joy.
Instead of shame,
I have victory.
And instead of defeat,
I become a champion.
In Christ Jesus. Thank you for doing this today.
In Jesus'
name. Can I pray for you? It's Keith and Stacy. Lord, I pray for Keith and Stacy today. I don't believe I've ever met them before. But God, I believe that you've had your hand on their lives.
Yes.
And what they've done today is from their hearts. I know it. And others have prayed, and I know they mean it. And I pray, Lord, that this year starts different than any year of their young lives.
Yes.
And you start doing things by their faith, they'll be just shocked. They're going to be a lot of wows this year.
Yes.
Lord, I pray that you give them a lot of wow.
Yes.
Wow. 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 Lord, let them just have a lot of wows.
Yes.
Because of what you've done. And everybody
yes.
will ask how.
Yes.
And they'll say, because of you, Jesus.
Yes.
We give you the credit and the glory for all that you've done
yes.
and all that you're about to do.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Yes. The Bible is the greatest source to build your life on. A lot of people building their lives on a lot of information. The Bible is the best one. We've got a Bible to give to you. We have people here that want to help you.
This is a bold thing that you've done coming forward. I always admire it. I appreciate you so much. I can't wait to get to know you, get to meet you, and to see you grow. I saw you were sitting with Keith and Cindy. Apparently you know them, or did they just sit beside you? Oh, you know them. Sometimes they just sit with people they don't know, and they're just kind of... So I just didn't know how that happened, but they're great people. They really are really great. There's a lot of really good people here, and they're some of the best. I love you. I don't know you, but I love you in the love of the Lord. Hope that makes sense, okay? Keith and Stacy. I knew it started with an S, but that was it. Would you like Keith and Stacy to know that we love them today? They're going to give you a Bible, all right? Praise the Lord! God bless you. I love you. I'll see you.